and sisters. Today is a beautiful day to be alive because once again we were able to come together and not only see each other's pretty faces, but also partake in this beautiful communion. And God allows us to do so. It is His blessed safeguard. You know that our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ commanded us to hold the communion table. With its symbolism and its spiritual significance of the act itself, the Lord's Supper continues to serve as the reminder of the eternal love and providence of God. In other words, the good news of accomplishment of Father's eternal plan of salvation through the birth, death, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The plan that was predestined long before the time itself and even creation of its known world. Jesus Christ is the culmination of it all, and everything evolves around Him. The Scripture is teaching us that Jesus is the Lamb that was slain from before the foundation of the world. And in letter to Ephesians, Paul says that we have been chosen from before the foundation of the world. Isn't that amazing? We don't even understand what that means. From before the foundation of the world. Just to think of a time when we don't exist, this earth is void, and the Holy Spirit is hovering over the waters. And before that, God already, He creates heavens and earth, and the angelic beings are created, and then He speaks, He says things into existence. And before all that, He already knew what was going to happen. Who is this God? You know, today's title, so to speak, for the message that I was allowed to speak is Eternal Gospel in a Temporary World. This is our time. God is outside of time. We are not yet. We are in this time. We have given a life, and some of us live longer than others. And in this life, God allows us to have the message. It's so crucial, so important. You know, the message and the messenger are very important. Not just the message, but also who delivers the message is very important. A short story, I'll spare some details that I wanted to share before I continue, was that I was reading on this soldier, Japanese emperor's soldier from World War II. And the story was that in 1944, he was deployed to one of the islands in Philippines, and he was an intelligence officer, and he was told to be there and do surveillance and report, and he was supposed to stay there until the end of the war or die, assuming kill himself. And so years passed by. 1945, Hiroshima and Nagasaki are bombed with a nuclear bomb and atomic bomb, and the war is ending, but this officer and his three men have no idea the war has ended. And so years go by, nobody has told them they're cut off from the world, there is radio silence, they don't know what's going on. And over 2 decades pass by. Now, in the meantime, they're having skirmishes with the locals. They're stealing their cattle. They're eating bananas and some other vegetables and fruits that they can find. But they're still fighting, assuming they're still in war. And so they have no idea. It was 1950 when only one of them leaves the island and he finds out that the war is over. But the rest of them remaining on that island, they think it's some kind of American propaganda when everybody's telling them the war is over. They don't believe them. And so it took 26 years for these men to realize. And the way it was that the message that the war is over was delivered but by one of the surviving officers, superiors, of that spy cell. And he comes and he says, you know, the war is over. You guys are kind of, were forgotten on this island, and you can go home now. So the message was the war is over, supposedly good message. But the message was not perceived as it ought to be because the messenger wasn't trustworthy until the officer, the superior, the person they recognized to be truthful arrives and delivers the message. Long story short, the guy survived in 1975. He moves to another country and becomes a farmer. Why am I telling you this? Because the point I want to make is the message that we have received, the good news, is not just important, it is life. And so is the messenger. It is very important. How can we trust the message without trusting the messenger? Today, I would like, if the Lord allows, remind us of that eternal gospel of eternal God and once more refresh our minds of His sovereign love and grace, which He bestowed upon us through His Son, Jesus Christ, the Lord. The story of God's good news, and that's what gospel is. The gospel is Evangelios. It's basically a Greek word, and we have gospel deriving from Anglo-Saxon word or old word that basically means good news, God's spell. So now we have a gospel, which literally means good news. And that was the Greek and Latin translations of it too, original, which that's what New Testament was written for. The story of God's news or the gospel doesn't begin with Matthew's account of Jesus' genealogy in the gospel according to Matthew, nor in following gospels of Mark, Luke, and John. For us, it begins in the Garden of Eden, for us humans. But for Father God, it has always been with Him because it is Him. See, from before the foundation of the world, the gospel is there. And this is understanding this truth, understanding what not just genealogy, but the whole human history and Godhead presents itself. John, the writer of Gospel by John, we're familiar with, is presenting Jesus Christ as the ultimate source of information. And he begins with saying, in the beginning was the Word, and that's the word Logos, from which we have the word logic in our English, the reason, the everything. In other translation, it's the thing, the it, that is every. So in Armenian, we have a word, it's called ban, and it basically has so many purposes and definitions, it's impossible to just define by narrowing it down. It means everything. And so John says that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. All things were made through Him, and without Him nothing was made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of man. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. Amazing, right? Word. First he says, Word, beginning. And then says, Word was with God. It's kind of like a play on words. Why don't you just say that, oh, by the way, Jesus is God? No. He needs to make sure that we understand who we're dealing with. This is not some prophet. This is not Elijah. This is not Moses. This is the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And we see this, don't we? When we open the Bible, what is the first thing we see when we open the Bible, the book of Genesis, and begin to read? And it's so similar. It says, in the beginning, God, in the beginning, again, God created the heavens and earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. Then God said, we see the Trinity of God in that beginning, and we see it here. God creates, Spirit hovers, God says, the Word. And so John goes back to the very origin of everything. He says, well, that's what happened. This is who we're dealing with. He's not even continuing the story of, oh, he was born in Bethlehem, whatever. The main thing is to understand what is the message. The message is not to memorize where Jesus was born. It wasn't the... It's pointless to remember where he even did the first miracle. That's not the message. The message is, who is this Jesus? And he's the Word. He's the Logos. Nothing. You know, my dear brothers and sisters, you all look very handsome today. And you know what? Me and you did not come to be without Jesus being involved. He says everything through him. Nothing. You were not born without Jesus being involved in your life. So, long story short, you're perfect because Jesus designed you. The gospel, the good news of God, is important. How important? It's so important that he, God, planned to on delivering it personally. Message is significant. You can't just do whatever you want with it. You need to make sure that those who need to receive it do receive it. First in the Garden of Eden, then to Noah, to Abraham, to Moses, to Isaiah, and so on and so forth, until the appointed time of Jesus Christ himself appears through incarnation and delivers the good news personally, promising for the seed of Eve to crush the head of the serpent, birth of Enoch, grandchild of Adam and Eve, during whose time the name of the Lord was called again, Noah, the survivor of the great flood, through whom the humanity continued to exist, that the promise of the Son of Man crushing the head of the serpent head would be fulfilled. Calling of Abraham and the great promise of all the nations of the earth to be blessed through his descendant. Reassurance of the promise to Isaac and his son Jacob. Then Judah, one of the sons of Jacob's, one of the 12 tribes, through whose tribe would come David, through whose tribe would come, you guessed it right, Jesus Christ. The Word, God himself, would come to deliver the message. Amazing things were happening, right? He's doing these things through people. He's doing these things throughout the time that we are in, this whatever few thousand years until Jesus comes and says, well, enough is enough. And in this time, he keeps talking to us, keeps talking. He's inserting this information. And then, almost at the split of times, approximately 4,000 years into human history, he enters the humanity and he says, well, this is what I mean by it. Yeah. This is Jesus. He called Abraham. He gave him the great promise and then reassured it through his descendants. And through the lineage comes David. When Jesus was crucified, before giving up his soul, his last word was, tetelestai. It is finished. You know what we were doing today? We were remembering that it's finished. It's finished. You don't need to do anything else so you can be saved. He did it. He provided, he told Adam and Eve that their seed, their descendant, the Son of Man, will crush the head of the serpent. On the cross, Jesus crushed. He fulfilled that promise. And today, we're partaking by bread, which represents his body, by drinking the wine, which represents his blood. We're remembering. What a kind God he is that he not only gives these things, but he says, well, I'm going to make sure you remember it. Do this in my remembrance. Honor me. And so we remembered it today, and it was a blessing to us. And we worship God in such a way by remembering him. And so Jesus said, it's finished. Tetelestai, that's it, this is done. And done doesn't mean, well, nothing else is going to happen after this. What was done is God's eternal plan. Remember, in the beginning, from before the foundation of the world, okay, there is no Adam, no Eve. It's finished. The gospel, the eternal gospel, came to its culmination when this is what I was going to do, and I did it. Nobody else could do it. Done. He conquered the death and hell, rising from the dead on the third day. The great promise of serpent's head being crushed was fulfilled. The good news has come to pass, and all those who believe in him will not perish, but have eternal life. That's us. I'm going to be reading quite a few passages from the scriptures. I do not want you to open the Bibles and try to keep up and follow it. If anybody wants any of these notes, you're welcome to stop by after this service. In Hebrews chapter 1, this is what the author says. Luke. So Jesus comes to a point where he goes to Nazareth, and this is his beginning. He just came. The messenger is here. The anointed one is here. The blessed one is here. The Messiah. And he goes to Nazareth. This is how he starts. He opens the book of Isaiah, and he says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set liberty to those who are oppressed. Remember the message and the messenger? Thousands of years pass. He comes. He opens a book that was written 700 years before him. He's opening from Isaiah 61. He started reading it. And of course, all these Jews, they love Isaiah. They're waiting. Well, what are you going to tell us? Come on, Rabbi. What are you going to teach us today? And then he goes this. Today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. They did not expect that. What do you mean? I mean, they wanted to kill him. You? We know you. We know Mary. We know Joseph. We know your brothers. We know your sisters. Messenger matters. And Jesus is standing there and he says, that gospel, that good news, you were waiting. God told Moses that he's going to send another prophet like him. To him you should listen. These prophets were coming and telling and telling and telling. And now this Jewish average-looking guy, probably with dark hair and curved nose, standing in front of us. Well, he's a rabbi. He's 30 years old. And he's telling us that today is the day. Can you imagine if right now we're standing here and, you know, in modern Christianity, what is the one most desirable and intriguing topic? It's got to be the coming of Jesus Lord, right? The rapture and the end of the world and everything. It's like, if I today was speaking on the rapture, wow, that would be so much more exciting maybe, but not. So, this is what Jesus says. He says, today this scripture is fulfilled. And now we're standing here and like, if we had right now rapture happening, we're like, wow, today we were reading about it. Today is the day. So these guys are sitting there. They're not expecting it. Today is the day of what? Lucky for them, Jesus this said, that for God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. It wasn't the second coming of Jesus in all power and glory when he's going to unleash the wrath of God upon this earth. No, he came to save. This is why he says, anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. Does that sound like an angry guy to you? No, right? No, he came to preach the gospel. And that's the gospel that has arrived to us, which makes us the believer by the Holy Spirit. When the word Jesus Christ came to mankind, he taught the gospel to us. He kept the law. He healed sick people, forgave sinners, fed thousands with little, resurrected dead people, died on a cross, rose on the third day, ascended to heaven, and promised to return for his own. and in the meantime, advocating on our behalf. That also is gospel. See, gospel is not just an account of what one thing happened. Gospel is the good news. What is the good news? Well, here's the summarization of the whole Bible. There is God. He's eternal. He's powerful. He can crush you or he can recreate you. He can do whatever he wants. Nobody's going to tell him. Nobody's going to stop him. And he makes a humankind. Humankind goes against him. And he has this eternal plan to save you. And at the end, he's going to save you. In the meantime, listen and obey or else. You know, you can shorten as much as you can, but God is eternal. His word is eternal. His gospel will not be stopped from preaching. Jesus says, heaven and earth will pass, but my words will remain forever. Why his words will remain forever? Because his words are God. Because he is God. Because he is eternal. His gospel is eternal. The world we are in currently is saturated with lies. Saturated with lies. It is everywhere. The world wants you to believe that you can be your own God and you decide what is right or wrong, true or false, and all this simply based upon how you feel about it. How you feel about it. Deceit has become entwined into human daily lives that we stopped noticing it most of the times. You turn on the TV. What do you expect? Lies. You turn on the internet, what do you expect? It become part of our life that we're not, this reporter lied? What? No way. CNN, they would never do that. But my point is that this is our daily lives. We wake up, we hear lies around us. We go to bed and before we shut our eyes, we hear lies. We go to work, we see a bunch of liars trying to impress us. We go on YouTube and everybody wants to show you how much better their life is than yours. I mean, it's unbelievable. You know, there is a guy on YouTube that is showing one interesting thing. How to live like a caveman. I kid you not. If there was such a thing as a caveman, wouldn't they love to have a YouTube channel where they can say, how not to live like a caveman. Here's a hot shower and a bed and nice meal. So everything is so weird. Everything is weird. There is so much information. It's garbage. It's nonsense. We can watch 5 hours of any information on the internet and not be an ounce smarter than we were 5 hours ago. In fact, probably dumber. This is the world we live in. It wants to convince you that no, nothing to see here. There is no eternity. Well, what to do with that? Everything has been corrupted, and the only thing left for this world is to be consumed by the fire. That is the fate of this earth, according to Apostle Peter. That's why he says, but the heavens and the earth, which are now preserved by the same word, are reserved for the fire until the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. That sounds serious, doesn't it? The gospel is profitable when mixed with faith, according to Hebrews 4:1. Throughout human history, God in his mercy sends reminders of his promise to restore things and establish his kingdom. Original promise after the sin was to Eve that her seed will crush the head of the serpent. Then it continued through the many generations and it kept going, keeps going, keeps going until the Messiah, God is with man, Emmanuel. Jesus is born. The good news that has reached us through all these centuries has done its marvelous job and continues to do so today just as good as it did during the time of the apostles. The gospel that had more impact on humanity than anything else in the world. It has been preserved throughout the harshest conditions, endured worst of the tyrants, and changed hardest of the hearts. It has been translated into 1,582 languages and complete Bible into 700 languages. Ready for this? Over 5 billion copies of Bible have been printed in the world. So how is it that the truth, that the gospel, that the word, that God has been exposed everywhere? I mean, you can go to a grocery store today and literally find a Bible for sale there. God is not hiding. And he didn't heed his truth. He didn't heed his gospel. So why is it being so rejected? More than any other literature or book printed in the world. 5 billion. Think on that number. Wow, that's a lot of trees killed. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations, and then the end will come. That's what Jesus promised. Do we see that happen today in our lifetimes? It's everywhere. You go on the internet, it's going to be there. You're going to go to churches, it's going to be there. Today, thanks to, I guess, the conditions that the world is in, it's so easy to talk to anybody about the gospel because everybody's frightened. Fear is ever present. The gospel has reached us, transformed our lives, and when replied by faith, brought peace between us and God the Father. We no longer are enemies. One doesn't need to be a professor of psychology to see how technology has changed the way of human thinking and perception. So multitudes of people are getting their daily dose of truth via gadgets and without any verification base their life decisions upon the information they received. When Jesus was speaking, he was speaking as one who has authority. Why was he speaking one as who has authority? Because he is the Word. So modern man mimics God and speaks with such self-proclaimed authority that it is perceived as the new gospel. We are created in the image and likeness of sovereign eternal God, made for him. His good pleasure, we are created to enjoy that God by fellowshipping with him through worship and adoration in all things that we do. Whether we eat or drink, asleep or awake, walking or talking, everything in our lives must bring glory to God. We are commanded to love God with all our hearts, our soul, and our mind. Commanded to love one another. God, who is most powerful ever existing, all-knowing, who can create galaxies with planets in them, stars in them, who made our solar system and earth in such perfect fashion that it sustains our lives perfectly, and by only speaking it into existence. That God knows you by your name. Did you know that? When John 3:16 is telling that, for God so loved the world. You know the rest. For God so loved the world. Wow, nice to know that God loved the world. Well, you're in that world. You're part of it. Put your name instead of the word world, and you will see that God so loved you that he gave his one and only begotten Son. That you will not perish and have eternal life. That is gospel. That is truth. Now, is that good news? Could be, if you believe it. This is why he came down personally to deliver this news. It is absolutely necessary. This earth, we obtain mercy through this world. The world is passing faster than we can grasp it. Our lives are nothing but a few years, and death is a certainty. The light of eternal gospel shone in us by the mercy of the Father, and the Holy Spirit made us alive. Let there be light. You know, we read in the beginning, right? What was it? In the beginning, God created, and then one of the first things that we hear the scripture mention that God said, what was it? Let there be light. And that's what he does. Let there be light, said Lord. And you believed. You were born again. It's like somebody turned the light bulb, you know, that turned the switch in you, and all of a sudden, all the rejection, all the agony, all the suspicion, all the disgustingness, all the ugliness in you, all the pain went away, and you're like, Jesus. Jesus. What? I'm no longer a sinner? I'm no longer going to be cast into the lake of fire? You know, that moment when he said, let there be light, that knowledge, that the light of the knowledge, that's Jesus Christ in you. And you believed, you were born again from above, thus becoming adopted children to that powerful God, co-heirs to the Son of God. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. That's what John continues in chapter 1 of his gospel. He wants to make sure that reader understands what he's talking about. It wasn't you. It wasn't you. You didn't just go and we are looking for God and all of a sudden, oh, there you are. Okay, I want to believe you. You didn't make that choice. He chose you. He has begotten us. That's what Peter teaches, right? He has begotten us. Beloved, now we are children of God. And it has not yet been revealed what we shall be, but we know that when he is revealed, who he? Jesus. We shall be like him, Jesus. For we shall see him, Jesus, as he, Jesus, is. That's gospel. That is Jesus, Yeshua. He's the gospel, he's the word, he is the beginning and the end. Everything was made by him, through him, for him. You and I were created for Jesus Christ. We are Father's gift to his eternal Son. He wrote the names of those who will be saved in the Lamb's Book of Life. We are made to worship him by enjoying him in his pleasure. It is his pleasure to love us and to be loved by us. That's our reply. Those who reject this truth. Those who reject these truths. To them, gospel is foolishness. It's a lie. It is a stumbling stone, the rock that will crush them. Unbelievers remain condemned. The world rejects the world because they do not love the truth. They don't care. They don't have that passion. They don't have a why. Because they don't perceive it as the truth. And so God will send them a strong delusion to believe the lie, according to Ephesians. Paul writes to Ephesians. Why? Because they didn't love the truth. Did you love the truth? Did you fall in love with the truth? Did you look into your heart and see, do you love Jesus Christ? You know that David says, kiss the Son. Do we love him to the point that we want to hug him, we want to kiss him, we want to worship him every day and everything? But to believers, to us, it is the power of God. It is the sword of the Holy Spirit, the living water. It is the everlasting truth and our future to tabernacle with God forever and ever. Amen. So what do we do with this eternal gospel of God's grace? We are confined by time, are we not? We are limited in our abilities. We're not God. We don't speak words into existence. We can't walk up to somebody and say, believe unto Jesus, and poof, they're believer. We don't do that. We can't do that. What do we do? If the Word and Jesus Christ are one the same, then we must obey it as if Jesus were standing in front of us today and speaking to us, because he does. If you only knew who is asking for water, he's telling Samaritan woman. If you only knew. God wants us to know. He wants us to know who Jesus is. This Jesus came to us in the quiet of the night, and no one would even notice if it weren't for the angels proclaiming it to shepherds. Innocent baby born in Bethlehem. Looked just like any other Jewish boy. Needing his mother for survival and care, needing Joseph for protection and direction, yet in him was the life of man. You know, In Colossians, Paul puts it this way. He says, set your mind on the things above, not on the things on the earth. For you died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. In him was the life. He is the life source. He is the source of the light. And that's why we won't be needing a sun in the new heaven and the new earth. He sustains our lives. He will appear, and we will be made one. But he's coming in all the glory of eternal God and King with his armies behind him. It's not going to be a quiet night. It's going to be contrary of a quiet night. It's going to be a very loud day, probably. What's going to happen? Well, all of heavenly hosts following him, preceding that sun and moon are dimmed out, stars are falling, mountains are moving, and earth is humbled before its true maker and Lord. All the tribes of the earth are mourning because they see the Son of Man, Jesus Christ, coming on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. That is also the gospel. The good news, is it not? I mean, nations and tribes are mourning. Horrifying. I can't even imagine seeing such a thing. But thankfully, we're going to be on the other side of it. We are called to go into the world and make disciples. Proclaim the gospel of God's grace to all who are lost. After all, isn't that how we got it? It's our sacred duty to know it, obey it, to preach it and teach it, to love it and teach our generations to love and honor it. Do not keep it on the shelves, but in your hearts. We cannot love God with all our hearts and souls and mind if we don't love his gospel with all our heart, soul, and mind. This is what Jesus says, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word. It wasn't a hypothetical thing, it wasn't a suggestion. It's proof. You want in your life assurance? Dear brothers and sisters, no judgment here. I'm no one to come and point fingers. But I'll tell you, you want to know if you truly love Jesus? Do you love his word? If you love his word, because he's the word, and the word is God, then you love him. If you don't love the world, well, time to repent. What happens when we share that gospel in our temporary world? Well, we only share, we're only the messengers. But what the gospel does is, author of Hebrews describes in chapter 4, misspoke. For the word of God is living and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Could you do that? No, the word does. So go into the world and bring that gospel, that word, that is the discerner, that goes into the division of the human very being, the mind and the soul. And he'll do the job. Be the carrier, the witness of that word. The word is living. It will do the work. We are only the messengers. The mercy of God is so transcending that until the last days of this sinful world, he continues to preach it. Imagine how important it is that not only time past and present, but also in the future. You know, probably the single favorite thing today in modern Christianity is eschatology, right? Always end of the time. Well, this is going to happen at the end of the time too. He continues to preach it. How? 144,000 Jewish evangelists, the true prophets, the witnesses he calls, angel flying and proclaiming the everlasting gospel. Can you think on that image? An angel, I haven't seen an angel, I hope you haven't either, but an angel, right? flying in the heavens and proclaiming the gospel. How important is that book, my brothers and sisters, that we have today that sometimes is covered with dust, that when we pick it up, we can see our fingerprints on it. How important is this that God, until the very last moment of his another arrival to this world and establishing his kingdom, he keeps on preaching that gospel. And not only through people, but even sends an angel. That would be a terrifying thing to see. An angel, and beautiful, I guess, at the same time, proclaiming the gospel. And he calls it eternal gospel. Why is it eternal gospel? Because we're going to be talking about that gospel forever. Forever. We're not going to, once we're in his kingdom, we're not going to shut up. We're going to say, look what he did. No wonder angels wanted to get into it that couldn't understand it. No wonder every time a person is saved in heaven, there is a whole holiday going on over that because they see what God did. So you see, brethren, how puny and insignificant really are our daily worries and tribulations. When you go to work tomorrow, whatever, and you know, we have health issues, we have problems, we get old, we get not so pretty anymore sometimes, you know. I mean, I look at myself and it happens, it's life, you know. And then we come to the point where like, oh, I'm older, I need to think serious about my life. No, today is the day to think serious about your life. Not when you get old, because I don't know if I'll be dying, you know, maybe in a crush on my way home. Now I'm only 48. Hopefully I'm not that old. That's what it is. We don't know. Today is the day to love that gospel. Today is the day to share it with the loved one, because you don't know if you're going to see that loved one tomorrow. That person you weren't sharing the gospel with because you thought, well, it's going to impact our friendship. Oh, my family will no longer treat me as a family. My friends will look at me in a weird way. I'm going to be the weirdo at work. I'm going to be that strange guy everybody's going to avoid. Well, every time you have lunch with somebody, every time you go out with somebody, whatever you do, every time you hug somebody, give them gospel. Because nothing else is going to be more important than that in throughout their lives. Your life has been predestined by God thousands of years ago and to the eternity in glory and worship of him. Do not be deceived by the daily news. False promises of joy and pleasure, riches and fame, pursuit of happiness is only knowing that Jesus got you. He is with you. His spirit is in you and God is your loving dad. Pursue his righteousness and allow Holy Spirit to bring you up to the rich unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. This gospel of God's mercy and grace in Jesus Christ is so awesome that we will be talking about it in the new heaven and the new earth. We will be celebrating it every day. And we will praise and worship our Lord Jesus Christ, who is the Word of God, who is God forever and ever.